You're now listening to the Deep Edge Podcast with your host, technology expert Ray Moda, giving you the rundown on telecom, cloud, and all things business and tech. This is the Deep Edge Podcast.
Let's go!
Hello, this is your host, Ray Moda, and I'm excited about this particular podcast because we have two of our very own analysts. Joining us will be Dr. Mark Mortensen and PJ, its name is PJ, but it's actually Paul Parker Johnson. We call him AKA the Professor, who will be going deep into a new service related to a topic they call DCO. Hey, PJ, Mark, welcome to the Deep Edge Podcast. How are you guys doing?
All right, man, how are you?
Now I'm in Arizona, right? Where are you located, PJ?
Hey, I'm up in the cool Northeast, up in Boston.
Is it snow there yet or what?
Not where I am. Up in the mountains there is, but not here in Boston.
Now, Mark, are you in South Carolina or where are you now?
Indeed, Charleston, South Carolina. Everybody's freezing here today. It's 56 degrees. People are having their winter coats on.
That's awesome. You know, I don't think I own a coat living in Arizona. I only own a coat for when I travel to see you guys. So anyway, welcome again to the podcast. Part of this podcast, I know you guys have identified some new research areas, right? But I want to get started with a little bit, maybe understanding about the things associated with, let's say, PJ SDN, right? You've done a lot of stuff about SDN-related type topic. Could you elaborate on some of your research associated with that?
Sure. We've been researching SDN for 5 or 6 years now. And, you know, we got started on it when SDN was cutting the edge of, separating control software from underlying network infrastructures. And we looked into it both from a data center point of view as well as from a transport networking point of view. We've been exploring how those developments have proceeded significantly over that time, to the point where now, I think it's fairly well expected that most network operations are going to be supported by, you know, some significant amount of software control for its particular area of focus. The applications have evolved a lot, but that's roughly the timeline that we've had. We've done a lot of deep dives as well as economic analysis and market forecasts and profiles.
Now, PJ, maybe before I move on to just understand a little bit about Mark, if you could just go over your background and how you got to ACG.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I have been intrigued by and I've been involved with packet networking since the early 80s from a professional point of view. And I started working in wide area packet switching networks with a company called BBN here in Cambridge, Mass. We got very interested in this connecting computers problem that people were starting to wrestle with and deciding to create ways of routing packets to and from collaborating researchers across the world. And that became early stage work in developing IP routing. From those early days of routing, I got very interested in different use cases for routing, including, you know, ASIC-driven core routers, as well as really subscriber-aware broadband access routers, and multiple aspects of routing over time. And, you know, I worked on developing, you know, different platforms and market offerings for a good 15 years or so, and then got quite interested in how these things were being adapted in data centers into virtual computing infrastructures, and I became quite enamored with cloud computing. So, you know, so my background includes a good amount of network analysis, design development from a packet networking point of view, as well as software-driven infrastructures in both data center and wide area networks. So,
thanks for that.
A long trail, but I hope it gets across.
Yeah, for those for the audience that don't know, PJ, we call him the in-house professor here, but maybe now moving on to Mark, who we internally call our software guy, right, Mark?
Absolutely.
Now, you have a tremendous amount of expertise and background and still continue to do a lot of work on OSS, BSS, right? But maybe tell us a little bit about your background as well, right? But how did you come about to focus in on this new area?
Sure. I've been in this now for about 42 years, actually, in the OSS, BSS area. I was a bright young man back when my brain used to work really well with a PhD in nuclear physics from Yale, joined Bell Labs, however, in 1978. And PJ, I don't think I ever told you this story. One of the interviews I had was from someone. They said, hey, we have these two computers. We want to figure out how to make them talk together. Are you interested in that? And I said, no. It's probably the worst mistake I ever made in my life. But I said, why would anyone be interested in that? Okay, well, that shows you my ability here to figure out the future. But in any case, I joined Bell Labs then in kind of the operations division. And so we're trying to figure out how to take these little things called mini computers and how to do something in automation, how to take things that people used to do and somehow make the computers do it. And in fact, I specialized in the area of figuring out the network equipment and how to support it with the with what we called operation support systems back then. And over the years, last 40 years, I worked in there all the way up to the BSS and the billing space, too. So I have a good opportunity to actually do the whole automation, if you will, the whole automation thing of the network. So it was interesting because a lot of my work was in kind of the EMS, NMS area, element management system, network management system area, which was a very growing area for many years and then got really boring about the last 10 years. But then I saw this really start to take hold again and become much more interesting as we found things like segment routing domain controllers coming in, as we had the mobile core coming in and understanding that we had to automate all the operations for the mobile core and automate all the operations for residential broadband. So I came at it from a different side here from you. Looking at automation in all these different areas and how the OSSs and the network elements, which increasingly, as you said, become software controlled, how they're really going to interact together. So it's been an interesting thing.
Yep, and there's even been an addition in the domain scope that operators are using. Beyond the ones that you were mentioning, Mark, into bringing enterprise services into the software-defined world of SD-WAN. And so the number of use cases keeps growing.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's a good intro and good area. But I noticed, just for clarification, maybe either you guys could just help me on, I heard two concepts there, domain controller and cross-domain orchestration. What is the difference between those?
Yeah, so it's very simple. By the way, the word orchestration is used an awful lot and probably overused, but we have a very specific definition here, and it is different from the domain control. So the idea of a domain control, there's a domain, there's a hunk of the network, if you will. That hunk of the network would be a piece of technology, might be optical technology, might be a mobile core technology, might be an access technology. So it's a technology there. And then there's kind of a geographic piece of it. It might be the access, it might be the metro, it might be the core. That's kind of another part of the domain. Or there might be an organization, a group of people involved. And the idea is that you break the network into these domains and you try and automate as much as you possibly can inside that domain. Then when you end up with all those different domains, you now have to, however, have things that transcend those domains, because obviously you have to take a segment route and segment routing piece, and you have to stitch it through all the network, or you have to take a customer an IP/MPLS tunnel and stitch it all the way through, or you might have to take any other kind of service and stitch it through a lot of these domains. So that's really cross-domain orchestration then. So from a provisioning standpoint. Similarly, on the assurance side, One tries to do as good a job within the domains as possible, but you have to bring all that information together and do a cross-domain analysis in order to understand how a service is working. So again, domain control and cross-domain orchestration is the basic concept here.
Right. And you could be tempted to say, well, of course, you know, we've always had domains to be operating, and we've always used some software to manage them. But why is this becoming more automated? Why is it becoming more of a connected combination of software solutions to run the network as a whole? In really basic terms, simplifying the way that operator networks are run, and simplifying the way that services get consumed is an increasingly really critical factor to service provider success. With the surrounding technologies evolving so quickly, with things like Industry 4.0, IoT, gaming, cloud applications, and such, it becomes really critical to make it flexible, make it fast, to integrate support for new areas that the networks are touching. And making that efficient from an operational point of view. Yeah. So it's become that much more important that, the way the individual deployment areas, the individual domains are run, fits in well with a whole life cycle of operation and the whole service delivery approach that operators have.
Back to you, Ray. Let me know if I have this correctly then, right? So the concept is to break up operations into these domains, right? And then do your best job of automating what you can. Do I have it right? Or
yeah, that's the idea. So within a domain, you do the best job that you possibly can. And one other comment about these domains is that part of the reason, as I think PJ was mentioning, is that there's going to be new domains. There's going to be new technologies that have come up. IoT is a new domain. We didn't have that before. So you need to take it and you need to automate that as well as possible. Then you need to stitch it together in a cross-domain side. What we're really looking for right now, let me even talk about when we first started looking at some of these SDN, there were actually people who were saying, oh, we're going to go to a completely flat network. We're going to have provisioning that goes over everything, and everything is going to be completely flat. And that just turned out not to be the case. That's not the way we're automating this. That's not the way it's working very well. We are still using this domain structure that, as you said, PJ, has traditionally happened. As we're using this domain structure, what are we after? It's funny, the game that we used to play here in OSSB SES used to be what I call the 10% game. We were after about a 10% reduction in cost, the 10% increase in speed every year is really what we were after, about 10%. Some years 20%, but that's what we were after. And the operators are not after that anymore. They're under increasing competition, and they're under increasing desire to evolve their network so fast. They're looking for 10 times now, not 10%, 10 times. We call this kind of the 10x network. And then the idea is how far can you get in automation towards a 10x network? And the answer is you can get pretty far using today's technology. We're finding you can get about 2/3 or 3/4 of the way there by bringing things into these domains, doing a really good job of domain management and domain automation. What are we using? Why can we do this now? Why can we do this instead of 10%? We've got these Yang models now, these good models for some of the equipment. We've got NetConf interfaces here, much better than the old interfaces we had. We've got new protocols like gRPC, which are very much more rich and available for the operators and for the network element providers to do this. What is the whole idea now is to take the Yang models, take the NetConf interfaces, the gRPC enhanced ones, and use them with automation from very simple automation like robotic process automation, which is basically big macros, if you will, very big right now, but also the AI automation, the AI enhanced automation capabilities. The idea is to make this and go after customer satisfaction. The idea is to get new services out as fast as possible and to get the cost down as fast as possible. The whole idea is to do a whole service lifecycle management of automation inside the domain, and then again, cross-domain these things. And go ahead, PJ.
I was just going to say that, you start to develop this picture that, that the capabilities matter on a per technology domain basis. And then we also know that the pressure is there for business efficiency and quality and service delivery. And so at the next layer up, stitching together the operation of all the domains, you have this end-to-end service automation capability that needs to work in a similar manner with each of the domain controllers that it's supporting. And so you have this, overall tiered architecture that is developing to work end to end, and integrating both virtual and physical network elements, combining operator transport networks with cloud provider and data center environments in a more efficient manner, and developing capabilities that are inherently cross-domain, like network slicing for 5G, and capabilities that simply would not be feasible unless there was high-quality automation to make them happen.
Yeah, and that slicing is going to be very important, I think, in the future. There's no doubt about that. We're starting to see the slices starting to happen, and that's just going to require an amazing amount of cross-domain control.
Yeah, no, this is excellent. Now, one thing is, if you look at from an ACG point of view, we have a tremendous and very strong coverage into certain networking technology areas, whether it's optical, IP, MPLS, segment routing, as you mentioned, SD-WAN, multi-layer SDN, data center. I can go on into some of those mobility areas of 4G, 5G, and even edge computing. And now the two of you have this new research that covers that foundation, right? And we're going to use that deep knowledge that we have in the networking technology to fit this DCO overall program. Could you just elaborate on that and your point of view related to that?
Yeah, that's really one of the main reasons we decided to launch the DCO program, Domain Control and Orchestration, is because we do have this rich heritage here in ACG of knowledge of the equipment and knowledge of the vendors, knowledge of the forecasts, the market shares, and all that. So we're able to build on top of that. So we have all of this good knowledge of the equipment, and now we're able to expand that into the 30 or so different companies who are doing domain control and orchestration, and use make sure that we have our forecasts that match very well the equipment forecasts. So it all becomes a real whole, and it feeds on itself. So I work with Rick Talbot on the optical side. You know, you and I, Ray, work together here on the IP MPLS and the segment routing side, and PJ and I work on the and also the SD-WAN. PJ and I work on the SDN work. So we can make sure that we have a forecast, market share, and overall market view that makes perfect sense here from all the equipment standpoint, as well as the management standpoint. And that's actually very exciting to me. That's something that in my earlier incarnation as an industry analyst, I didn't have that underlying strong background and strong information about the equipment. And I really felt it lacking and kept me from being able to do something in this area in the past. Now we can do it. I think it's very exciting, PJ, to be working with you and the rest of the team here.
Well, it's a unique aspect of being able to shed even stronger insight into what's driving the adoption of automation software in the different categories of deployment that operators have. I mean, after all, the domain control and orchestration software is being used to manage the deployed domains. And so the better that we understand the symbiosis between those two, the stronger the insights that we can bring. And on top of the, you know, the essential aspects of, you know, what does it mean to bring, effective operations into these targeted domains? As we go about the work, we're also planning to tee up some special focus topics that, you know, practitioners are emphasizing more heavily as, you know, as they get better at running automation. So, for example, delving deeply into the role of analytics and AI in network operations, not only leaving AI to the realm of understanding, customer satisfaction or business effectiveness, but, you know, looking at it as an operational support tool. Taking a strong look at, you know, how adding domains like edge computing and Industry 4.0 will actually interwork with the network automation capabilities that operators have started putting together. So we have a perspective, I think, that's especially rich as we go about tackling the dynamics of this category.
I think it's very exciting right now. You know, we've got you and I just finished putting together our first landscape report. I know, where we've got supplier snapshots of over 30 different vendors. We've got kind of the whole view of the architecture, the view of the underlying technologies that are being used, and some of these ideas about where domain control and orchestration is going to go in the future. I think it's, I don't know. I think it's very exciting. Yeah, I'm very proud of this paper.
I agree, Mark. I mean, I think, you know, you touched on something that was really important, and that's as you move into these areas, right, having an understanding of the foundation, right, becomes vital moving forward there. Now maybe for our audience, if they want to learn more, what would be the next step? What do you guys suggest?
Well, one of the things you could do is come to our website, www.acgcc.com, and take a look there. With this landscape report is there. It's both provided as a standalone document, which one can purchase, or as a part of an overall subscription, which will include a lot of these other things: analytics and AI, model-driven operations, slicing, the market forecast, and market share eventually here too. We're focusing right now a lot on the transport area, the optical area, the packet area, with a smattering of mobile, although we'll be expanding it out into mobile in a major way very soon also. So come to the website, take a look. There's a number of blog postings and a couple of podcasts that we have on this area that might be a lot of fun. So come see us on our website, please.
Yeah, no, excellent. What I'll do here first from the audience. You guys, a round of applause there. Now, PJ and Mark, thanks for joining the first version of the podcast. For the audience out there, there'll be a series of podcasts coming in the future related to this DCO project and coverage area, where we'll talk about forecasts, who the leaders are, what topics are related to the slicings associated with it, some considerations related to issues and implementation on DCO, and then some of the DCO market updates. So once again, thanks for joining the Deep Edge podcast. Take care, guys.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Deep Edge Podcast. Make sure to follow Ray Moda on Twitter and LinkedIn at RModa. If you enjoyed the podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. Want even more? Head over to acgcc.com to access exclusive bonus content. Till next time.